Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthian Christians, the 9th chapter, which you heard read earlier. Even though at times it appears otherwise, our Lord God is in control. He has power over all things, including heaven and earth, and he uses that power to save and sustain his people. God's word is creative, and it always brings about that which he has sent it out to accomplish. Nearly 3,000 years ago, our Lord called his prophet Isaiah to proclaim that creative word. He foretold of a dark time when God's promise of protection and providence appeared otherwise to his people. Preaching the law, Isaiah would warn of the coming destruction of Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judah. And then in the preaching of the gospel, he would comfort that remnant of survivors who would later struggle through exile in Babylon, reminding them that they are still God's people. There is no other God like him. He loves them, he watches over them, and he will save them. From the very beginning, from the foundations of the earth, God's power and love have been clearly revealed. In our Old Testament text this morning, Isaiah gives God's people, who would soon be in captivity, he gives them a word of comfort, reminding them again that God is in control. He's calling them to trust in him, trust in the Lord, and do not grow weary. Indeed, the Lord would use his power to bring his people out of exile, returning them to the promised land of Israel. And later on in Isaiah's prophecy, he uses vivid imagery to describe God's saving power through Jesus Christ, his suffering servant, who would come in the flesh of man, suffer, bleed, and die to save all mankind from their sins. In our gospel text, we hear as Isaiah's prophecy is in the process of being fulfilled. God in human flesh, displaying divine power and authority over all creation. Jesus heals many who were sick with various diseases and casts out many demons. His healings and exorcisms are an important part of Jesus' earthly ministry, but they are also signs pointing to something greater. They're signs pointing to who Jesus is. He is the one who has power and authority over all creation. And while the devil attempts to usurp Jesus' rule and reign over the earth, Satan and his demons and all their wicked works and wicked ways are cast out by the Son of God. And Jesus even silences the demons. You see, Jesus' work of salvation speaks for itself. He wasn't going to give them voice to hurry along his timeline, even when it appeared otherwise to everyone who was watching. The hour of Jesus' death had not yet come. Jesus' words, deeds, and works all give testimony to him. And after departing for a time of prayer, Jesus' disciples come with word that everyone is looking for him. Well, of course they are. Who doesn't want to see a miracle? Who doesn't want to be healed? But Jesus replies, "Let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." Jesus' miracles point to his divinity, yet his word and proclamation of the gospel is of utmost importance. God's word is creative. It is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus' gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And while Jesus now has already been crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, his teaching of his word and proclamation of his gospel is still first and foremost today. Ever since the day of Pentecost, God has been calling teachers and preachers and everyday brothers and sisters in Christ, just like you, to go out and proclaim his gospel message in this unbelieving world. Now, perhaps you think you're not up to the task, or maybe you don't think you're worthy, or you're too much of a sinner. Well, remember that God's word and his gospel doesn't depend on skill or eloquence or fancy delivery. Faith doesn't come from human words of wisdom and encouragement, but faith comes from hearing the words of Christ. Consider how our Lord used his apostle Paul. It was also at a time when it didn't appear God was in control. The early church was under severe oppression. Saul, who would later become named Paul, was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a persecutor of persecutors of Christ's church, delivering Christian men and women over into prison, handing them over into death because of their faith in Jesus. But this one whom later would confess that he himself is the chief of sinners, God chose from before the foundation of the earth to play a major role as an apostle and missionary to the early church. Instead of striking Paul down in death with the eternal punishment that he so much deserved, God was patient toward him. He was patient toward him and brought him to faith. And God would use Paul as an example of God's boundless grace and mercy to sinners of all stripes. Paul could point to his previous life as a lesson to others. God has forgiveness of sins for all mankind. He has life and salvation, even for the worst of sinners. To young Timothy, St. Paul would write, "I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost sinner, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." God entrusted Paul with a stewardship of proclaiming the gospel, and Paul, in turn, would go to great lengths to be God's mouthpiece to the people. In Christ, Paul had been set free from the law. But although he didn't use that Christian freedom, even though he was free from all, he follows the very example of Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. He makes himself a slave, being all things to all people. He goes wherever God sends him, and he's careful not to mess with the pure gospel message, but he still conforms to others' customs. To the Jews, he writes, "To the Jews I became as a Jew. To those under the law I became as one under the law. To those outside of the law I became as one outside of the law. To the weak I became weak." Paul does all these things for no reward to himself other than the joy of proclaiming the good news, salvation through Jesus, so that all might be saved. It's instructive for you and me, Christian, to notice how Paul disciplines himself in our text so that we too might discipline ourselves as we strive to receive the prize. This prize that he speaks of is the greatest prize anyone will ever receive. It's already been bought and paid for by Jesus' suffering and his precious blood on Calvary's cross. This prize is eternal life and salvation. And just as an athlete exercises self-control in all things, Paul exercises self-control of his sinful nature by fleeing from sin and temptations and avoiding the excesses and pleasures of the world, avoiding anything that could hinder what God had given him to do and destroy his testimony to others. Even though this past year it has appeared otherwise, our Lord God is still in control. Jesus still has all authority in heaven and on earth. Many in the unbelieving world see the church as even a more corrupt place to be a member. Many see the church and her members as overly judgmental and hypocritical. They say we're only concerned with filling the pews and filling our collection plates. Perhaps more now than any time in our lifetime, many say that the church is being too political, out of touch with reality, infringing on human freedoms. And if this is any indication of how the church is becoming all things to all people, we are falling way short of God's command. And I'm guilty. I don't know about you, but I have not become all things to all men so that some might believe. I have not gone to the great lengths that Paul has gone. But even if you or I have become all things to all people, and we've shared God's word to the very ends of the earth, it's only God's word that works faith in hearts. Even if you and I have flawlessly proclaimed the gospel, articulating salvation, justification, well, it's only the gospel that does the work. It's God's word that has the power unto salvation. All of our righteous deeds are nothing but filthy rags. And apart from Christ Jesus, you and I are still dead in our trespasses. But thanks be to God that he has gone to the very same great lengths for you and me that he went to with St. Paul. God chose you from before the foundation of the world. He saw you in your sinfulness and your unfaithfulness, and he put his plan of salvation into motion, sending his only son to die on Calvary's cross for the forgiveness of your sins and raising him from the dead for your justification. In baptism, God united you to Christ, to Jesus' death and resurrection, making you God's own child, adopting you in baptismal waters as a member of the body of Christ. And as a member of Christ's church, God has called you to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And like St. Paul, you have been freed from the binding of the law, and you're free to serve others. In your freedom, our Lord would have you to serve others, being the very instrument through whom many will hear God's word, hear the gospel of Jesus and be saved. God's word and his gospel is still, he does all the work. You are merely in communications. You deliver the message. It's the Holy Spirit who closes the deal. But the unbeliever cannot believe if they've never heard the message, if they don't know who Jesus is and that he loves them and came to give them salvation. They're only going to hear the gospel if someone speaks the gospel to them. And I know what you're thinking, Pastor, isn't that your job? Well, yeah, it is my job. But baptized believer, it's your job too. Just as God worked through St. Paul and the other apostles and the witnesses to his resurrection to bring unbelievers to faith, God works through you and me and all the members of Christ's body. He calls us to be all things to all people, boldly confessing Christ and going to great lengths, whether it be door to door or down the hall at work, at the office, at school, wherever you find yourself in your vocation, speaking the words of Christ. And for me too, it takes some getting out of my comfort zone, because that's not the person I am. I like to talk, but boy, that's a hard conversation. But you're a baptized believer. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit and given God's grace and strength to proclaim the excellencies of Him who brought you out of the darkness. At the same time, like St. Paul, discipline yourself so that you may receive the prize won for you by Jesus on Calvary's cross. Flee from every sort of temptation and sin that might hamper that faith planted you in baptismal waters or might disqualify your words of proclamation. Daily drown your sins in baptismal waters and then abide in Jesus. Abide in His word. Abide in His body and blood given and shed for the strengthening of your faith and the forgiveness of your sins. God works through His means of grace, even at times when it appears otherwise, when it appears that He has abandoned you and He is not in control. Dear Christian, hear the words of St. Paul. I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.